Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 28. I had been in prayer. I've got a lot of things on my mind, trying to prepare for. And I heard Brother Leonard. We went Friday night to Vanderpool. He was preaching up there, and he was talking about being a preacher and preaching meetings and things. And he said most of you don't wake up in the morning and think first thing, what am I going to preach tonight? But that's sort of how it is sometimes. You continually have that on your mind. Kim and I will be doing something, or even the children, and she'll say, what are you thinking about? And I'll say, well, I'm thinking about what I'm preaching tomorrow, or Tuesday morning, or radio broadcast, or teaching in school. And so that has to continually be on your mind. And I had a few things, different things I was thinking about for today, but I couldn't get settled on anything but this. So I'm just going to go with it this morning. And you pray that God would speak to our hearts. Proverbs chapter 28, let's read verses 1 through 5. And then we will go to the Lord in prayer. There has been, there was a lot of, I don't know if advertising is the right word, but there had been mention from a lot of people that knows about what's going on with the marriage amendment to make April the 29th a family day at church and bring a message along the lines of the family or marriage somewhere along those lines. And I had thought about that, and this might fall under that category, but let's just read verses 1 through 5. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and you pray that God would speak to our hearts today. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for letting us be here today and the many blessings you've given to us. Lord, we pray for your help today. I need your help, Lord, as I stand and try to preach the Word of God. Lord, I really pray that, God, you would help and make it easy. Lord, I pray for preaching unction, and I pray for power and strength. And, Lord, not only for this morning but this afternoon, I do pray that everything that's said and done up at the cemetery, at the graveside service, Lord, that you would be honored in it. God, I pray you'd work and move. I pray that, God, your glory would come down today in our midst. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord. Save souls. Revive the saints of God. Lord, would you do a work in these last days? We're a needy people. Father, I pray for your help this morning. I pray you'd speak to hearts. And I pray that your will would be done. We pray you'd bind the devil, that he'd not be able to hinder in anything that's said or done, and that the word of the Lord would have free course. Speak to our hearts and help us, God, to have boldness in these last days. We thank you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's read verse number 4 one more time. That's where I'm going to try to preach from today. Proverbs 28 and verse number 4. The Bible says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. There's two things that's mentioned in verse number 4 that I want to bring out this morning. And that is that the law is mentioned two times. Read that verse again. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. And I want to preach on the law and society this morning. The law, what it's talking about there in verses 4 and 5, it's talking about, that literally means the Pentateuch. And the Pentateuch is the first five books of the Bible, especially when it concerns the law of Moses, or the Ten Commandments specifically. That's what it's referring to. It's no accident that our Sunday school lesson and our message this morning from the Word of God, I didn't plan it that way, but the Lord knew how it would come out this morning, that they would both concern and center around the Ten Commandments. And if you could understand these 17 words in verse number 4, and that's what there is, I counted them, there's 17 words in verse number 4. And if we could get a good understanding of that today, you'd understand more about society and life than 99% of your civics professors out here in your universities or your sociologists, those that study society and the influences and the trends and all of these things. Why, you'd have a greater understanding than 99% of them. And you could get it for free. You don't even have to pay for it. You just understand and believe what the Word of God says. It'll help you. You'll understand more than the president understands. You know, went to Harvard and supposedly be so smart, he's not too smart in my book. You'd understand more than the governor of North Carolina understands. She's not too smart in my book. My book's God's book. That's my book. You'd understand more than a lot of your CEOs and your business leaders, and you would understand what the marriage issue is really all about. You would understand what the homosexual issue is really about. You'd understand what the abortion issue and the alcohol issue, and why, you'd just have a good understanding of most of the things that are troubling and problematic in our society today. David said in Psalms 119 verse 99, he said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You know, in my life, when life really began to make sense for me is when I learned that I had been lied to a whole lot in school growing up. There's a lot of things my teachers told me that was flat out contradictory to what the Word of God says. And I was confused on a great many issues until I come to the place where I seen that I was allowed to think for myself and to read and learn for myself and understanding. And I found that verse in Psalms 119 verse 99 where David said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. If you'll take the Word of God as is, you'll understand a whole lot more. Life will just make a whole lot better sense for you. The Bible says in verse number 4, one more time, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. There's two sides to the issues that are out here today, and really it's not complicated, it's really very simple. There's one side that the Bible says, forsake the law and praise the wicked. That's one side. Then on the other side, there are those that keep the law and contend with them. And that's what it all boils down to this morning. You might say today, surely it couldn't be that simple, but it is that simple. And with the help of the Lord this morning, I want to show you why it's that simple. First of all, I'd like to share with you this morning, there is the foundation of the law. There's the foundation of the law. The Word of God has a great deal, of course, to say about the law. But when I think about the foundation of the law, I think about Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1. The Bible said there, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt. Talking about when they came up, they'd been 3 months delivered from the slavery of Egypt. Verse 3, the Bible says, and Moses went up unto God, And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain. It was a new dawn. It was a promising day. And they'd been delivered from bondage unto freedom. And Egypt was behind them. And Canaan land was ahead of them. But God in His goodness and God in His mercy, He knew that they were going to need laws to live by. And so God called Moses to come up into the mount. And to begin with, God just gave them 10 commandments to live by. It talks about a covenant that God made with him and his people, and they were going to need laws. And the reason that they were going to need laws is because it had already been tried for man to live without law. Man didn't get very far without laws to live by. In fact, it got so bad that the Bible said in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 15, it said, "And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great upon the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually." And it got so bad that God had to destroy every living soul upon the earth. And he did. So this living without the law, it's no good. And just expecting that people would do right, it didn't work. We tried it that way once before, and it got so corrupt and so wicked that the only option was to destroy every living soul upon the earth. Do you know there's a crowd out here today, that's how they'd like for it to be. They'd like for it to be that we didn't have the law of God and we didn't live by the laws of God. But I'm telling you, that causes society to go down, down, down. They'd already been down that road before. And God said, "All right, we're going to do something different." And let me say, every time that God intervenes in history, it is just to show that man cannot be his own God. That he has to have a law and he has to have a Savior. But I get ahead of myself this morning, but God said, "We're going to do something else now. Now that we have been delivered from the slavery of Egypt, and now that Canaan land lies ahead of you," God called his man up into the mountain and he gave him the commandments or the law of God. And there's 10 of them. I'm just going to quickly share them with you this morning. I don't think it'd hurt anybody or offend anybody, would it? We're not at the courthouse. We're not at the school. We're in the house of God. And the Bible said in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's law number 1. Number 2, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." Number 3, verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." You know, God's last name's not a curse word. God said not to do that. Number 4, he said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Let me say, that is the only one that is not mentioned again in the New Testament. We are New Testament Christians. Jesus got out of the grave on the first day of the week, so we don't worship on the Sabbath day. We worship on Sunday. People say, "What about the Sabbath day?" That's under in the Old Testament law. We worship on Sunday. It's not mentioned again in the New Testament, but all the others are. Number 5, the Bible said in verse number 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." I know some of you parents would like to say, probably, "Why don't you stop right there a minute, preacher, and preach on that?" Any of you parents ever feel like a doormat? Youngins run over you, don't appreciate you, don't respect you, don't give a flip what you say about anything, but they'll eat your food and let you haul them around, waste gas on them and everything they do. Hey, you young people ought to honor your father and your mother. You ought to respect them. You ought to bow down in their presence and say, "Thank you for everything you do for me." Honor them. That's what the Word of God says. And it says to obey them. You ought to say yes, ma'am, and you ought to say yes, sir, and you ought to do what they tell you to do, and you ought to appreciate everything they do for you, and you ought to do everything you can to be a blessing and not a curse to them. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. That's the foundation of society, that children would honor their parents and obey them. Amen. That's what the Word of God says, honor thy father and thy mother. Number 6, thou shalt not kill. Number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number 8, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's lying. That's number 9. And number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's, not his car, not his house, not his manicured lawn. Oh, that's in the Word of God. You say, it's in there, disbelieve me. That's a foundation to a good society. 10 laws that God gave to Moses there. And so God knew that if they was going to make it and be what they ought to be, they was going to have laws to live by. The law's good. It's foundation for, I'm going to give you 3 things. It's a foundation for a happy society. You know, the Bible said back in Proverbs chapter number 29, over in verse number 18, I believe it is. It talks over there. It said, where there is no vision, the people perish. That vision, that's the Word of God. And we've heard that preached on before, but it goes on down. And it says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The law is the foundation for a happy society. The Bible tells us in Psalms 33 and verse number 12, it said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. And that word blessed, if you look it up, it means this. It means happy. Oh, how happy. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. That's the God of the Bible and no other God this morning. And the law is the foundation for a happy society. Now, I don't have a list of figures and statistics and surveys and opinion polls to share with you this morning. My point of view, I'm just going to tell you what the Word of God says. You know, liars figure and figures lie. Figures lie. If somebody comes along and they say statistics show and whatever it might be, do you know somebody else can come along and say and give you a statistic that shows the exact opposite thing? So I don't put a whole lot of weight on statistics and surveys and all those things. I read something this week and I wrote it down in my Bible. It said the best way to vindicate the Bible is to preach the Word of God. I like that. And so I didn't bring a sheet of statistics to share with you this morning, but I promise you today that America was a happier place when we had less stuff and more God than she is in a day and time where we have more stuff and less God. Amen. America used to be a happier place. Now the number one prescription drug is uppers. That's antidepressant, isn't it? I mean, that's what's supposed to do is get you up and keep you up. You go to the doctor. A lot of people go to the doctor. If they can't find anything wrong with you, they'll ask you how you're feeling. You ever feel depressed? You ever feel like you're not happy? A nurse told me a few years ago, she said she worked in the doctor's office and she said that her doctor that she worked for handed out antidepressants to just about everybody that walked through the door. America used to be a happier place when we had less stuff and more God. When we had a constitution and a Bible and a prayer and a pledge in the public schools and we were glad to have them there. Didn't offend nobody. People was glad to have the Word of God in the school. They knew their mean youngins needed to be told that they ought to honor their father and mother and shouldn't lie and cheat and cheat and steal. Glad to have it there. happy to have prayer and happy to have the Word of God read and happy to have a preacher or the Gideons come and to give a Bible out. America was a happier place once upon a time. Now he's glad to have them things in the Word of God. And I'll tell you, once upon a time, glad didn't mean gay, lesbian, and demented, demonic people either. I have a glad club in school now, but that's not what it means. They was glad when glad meant happy. When stores was closed on Sunday because there was a principle in the Word of God that there would be a day of rest and we'd take off and not have to run to Walmart every day of the week and not have to run out to eat every day of the week and not have to spend Sunday running up down the road. So it wasn't no use to go nowhere because nothing is open. And if you went anywhere on Sunday, it was to Grandma's house to get together with the family and have a good time of fellowship after church. Amen. America was a happier place once upon a time, and a lot of our young people never know what I know about America as a happier place. Where we went to Grandma's after church and waited on Papa to come home and all the youngins loved him and gathered around him, but he wasn't there a lot of the time because he is all preaching the Word of God. America was a happier place. We've got everything under the sun, but people just can't be happy. When Dad went to work, Mom stayed home because the Word of God taught that the mothers ought to be keepers at home. Did you know that was in the Bible? Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, look it up. And the older women was to teach the younger women that those things were so. But I'm telling you, oh, we've got away from that old-fashioned stuff, but we're not happier. We're sadder, more depressed, more strung out, more quick to get angry. I'm talking about everybody, not just people that aren't in church, but everybody. The law is a foundation for a happy society. It's foundation for a harmonious society as well. When there's harmony, that means there's getting along. It's like a symphony. Do you know our nation is so divided? Probably as much or nearly so as it's ever been in all of its history and in all of the things that have divided our nation. We're a divided nation. We can't come together on nothing. Where once upon a time the nation could come together for the good of the nation. But I'm telling you, the news media and the politicians and the race baiters and haters and all that crowd, they've divided our nation. Buddy, we can't get along with one another. What's wrong? Law of God's gone. That's what's wrong. But the law is foundation for a harmonious society. Our society has never been perfect. It's just been better before. See, there's something over in Deuteronomy chapter number 28 where God says, if you obey me, I'll bless you. And if you disobey me, I'll curse you. And I believe we're on that cursing side now, and we're not a harmonious society. Our nation's in trouble. There's just something beneficial to growing up and it being on in front of people's eyes all the time when they go to the courthouse, when they grow up in school, the law of God. There's just something beneficial to growing up and seeing it all the time. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That means don't lie. You know, that's how I grew up and that's how most of you grew up. And it is beneficial to society to grow up and for society to look down on them things. Better not do that. It's looked down upon. It's frowned upon. Why? Because that's what the Word of God says. And God's smarter and knows more than we do. And God gave us some good laws for our society to help us along. The law is a foundation for a healthy society as well. You know, there's a day and time in America where children were better. Amen. The Bible said in Proverbs 28 and verse number 7, it says, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. You see somebody that wants to do right and obey God, boy, that's a good young'un. That's a good child. It's a healthy society. Once upon a time in America, children were better. They acted better. They had more respect. They had more ethic about them. They had more work ethic about them. They'd get out of bed. They'd do something. Because their parents made them do something. It's good for them to do something. Amen. Children were better than they are today. You young people got a lot to live up to. Don't live up to me. Live up to that book right there. Once upon a time, children were better. Once upon a time, town was better. You go to town. You didn't have to take your keys out of your car and make sure you locked it four times. You just go do your business, go about your business. You didn't have to worry about your car getting stole. You didn't have to worry about getting mugged. You didn't have to worry about carrying a gun. You didn't have to worry about anything like that. Hey, town was better. Home was better. Children were better. Society was better. Washington was better. You young people may not believe it. But when I was growing up, we had a president who was a real Christian. Can you imagine that? I mean, people didn't laugh under their breath when they said they was Christian. They meant it. You gonna tell me? I've heard Obama say he's a Christian. If he's a Christian, I'm a Muslim. And this is a mosque. Amen. And we're in Iraq, and I'm telling you, he ain't no child of God. These people, they'll believe that. I read his book. Now, if you read his book and you got anything different, then you come talk to me about it. But I read his book. I read his testimony. He don't know God from a hole in the ground. He's not a Christian. It's a joke. And old Romney's not a Christian either. He's a Mormon. That's a difference. That's a difference. Might as well be a Muslim. It's a difference between heaven and hell this morning. I'm telling you, we don't have nobody to vote for. But the law is a foundation for a healthy society. Once upon a time, Hollywood was better. Can you imagine that? I mean, you could sit down and watch Andy Griffith and you wouldn't blush over nothing Andy said or Barney or any of them fellas. I mean, somebody created a series of Sunday school lessons on Mayberry RFD. Can you imagine that? Once upon a time, even Hollywood was better. I passed through the house the other night and they had the TV on and I wasn't watching it, but I noticed that, they was advertising on American Idol. Now, can you imagine in America, supposed to be a Christian society and know something about God, that one of the number one most watched television shows is American Idol. I mean, the title ought to cause us to sit up and pay notice. I thought God cursed idols in the Bible. But we have idols that sing to us and play for us and everything else. And I noticed they was having a tribute to the rock band Queen. And they was talking about old Freddie Mercury and how that he was no longer with us. And I just stopped and made an announcement. I said, you know he was a homosexual and died with AIDS and he's in hell tonight. Think y'all to know that. Got to know how things really are. And he hated God and he lived against God and everything God stood for. And that crowd that's held up and worshiped and praised today, he's in hell. I read about him and I learned some things. And argue with me if you want to. It's foundation for a healthy society. I must move on. There's the foundation of the law. Second of all, this morning, there's the forsaking of the law. 28 and verse number 4, it said, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. To forsake means to relinquish. It means to open the hand. Hey, there's a crowd out here today that they had dropped the law of God like a hot potato. They don't want nothing to do with it. Forsake it. Forget it. Put it in the closet, lock the door on it, keep it with grandma up in the nursing home, but we don't want to see it, we don't want to hear it. Forsake the law. Let go of it. Forget about it. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. That word praise there, it means to make a show. Isn't that interesting? To make a show. Like a TV show. To make a big deal about the wicked. To praise the wicked. To make a show is what that word literally means. It means to rave about. It means to celebrate. We live in celebrating days, don't we? Boy, they celebrate everything. It's ungodly and wicked against God. Praise the wicked. That word wicked, people don't even know. They don't want to hear that word anymore. The wicked means somebody that's morally wrong. A bad person, your average young person, knows very little about our founding fathers. All they're told in school is there's a bunch of greedy white guys that had slaves that got together to protect their own self-interest. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, up there on the Supreme Court, she said, if I was writing a constitution, I wouldn't look at our constitution, I'd look at the constitution of South Africa. When the Supreme Court justices of our day, they don't know no more than to say and do the things they do. And young people know even less about Moses and Paul and David and the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, they know all kinds of things about celebrating Earth Day. Celebrating diversity. Do you know what? That's a key word right there for accepting homosexuality and transgenderism. That's a man that wants to be a woman and goes to the doctor to make himself so. And all that other kinds of things that shouldn't even be mentioned in the house of God, but it has to be because your children know about it. Whether you know it or about it or not, and they know all about it. They that forsake the law, praise the wicked. They know all about Ellen DeGeneres. They know about a man I recently learned about. His name is Dan Savage, is his name. And he is a man, he started the campaign, It Gets Better. He's a homosexual, he's married to a man, so it says, and he goes around in schools. He's been to the White House, believe it or not, and sat down with the president. The president made a video on his behalf, and it's talking about homosexuals and their lifestyle and a series of commercials and all this Hollywood crowd they're in with it too. And they talk about how being a homosexual is hard, but it gets better. But it gets better, and that's the whole thing of it. And old Savage, he spoke at a convention for high school journalists. Children in high school that wanted to, that were interested in journalism. This just happened the past few days. And he's supposed to be, his thing is anti-bullying. And so he gets up there, and from what I've seen, there had to be 400 or 500 young people in the auditorium. And the first thing he starts doing is bashing the Bible and talking about what the Bible says in the book of Leviticus, that it was all a bunch of an explicitive word right there. We think about it being in the barn. Said the Bible was a bunch of blankety blank and blankety blank, and the young people went wild and screamed and clapped. Thank God there's a few young people stood up and walked out of that place, and as they walked out, he stood behind that pulpit and he bullied them and he run them down as they took a stand for Christ. That's where we're at, buddy, in America. That's where we're at in America. They know. They have to know. They're made to know all about that. I wish they'd know about God. Forsaking of the law is a foundation of a hellish society. When I was growing up, little, we used to run through the neighborhood and play all day long and come home at supper time. I wouldn't let my children run around in the neighborhood as close to the road as we live for nothing in the world. I'm afraid some pervert, some sex addict, some criminal got out of prison, ought to be in prison, would come by and snatch my children away. It's where we're living. It's a foundation forsaken of the law of God. It's a recipe for a hellish society. Boy, you got to watch everything that goes on. Because the society we're living in, as the law of God is forsaken, I wonder what it'll be like if there's not a revival, if there's not a turning again to the old paths of the Word of God. What in the world kind of world are our children going to grow up in? If it's as bad as it is now and it's got this bad, this quick, just look down the road a little bit. Boy, we need to get serious with God. Things of God, there's a forsaking of the law. And quickly I'll go on. I'll close with this morning in verse number 4. There's the fight for the law in verse number 4. He said, but such as keep the law, contend with them. There's three things I'll show you right there. Keep means to hedge about as with thorns, to guard, to protect, to attend to. Hey, we've got a responsibility before God. Fight for the law is the hedge of society. It keeps the inhabitants safe that are in. There's safety in the law of God. This marriage amendment and being for it, I've heard all kinds of arguments. You know what it is? It's strengthening the language to keep the homosexuals from taking over the state of North Carolina. And it's making it where the judge can't just on a whim change the law. It's important. It's what the Bible's talking about in Revelation 3 and 2, where the Lord is talking to the church at Sardis over there. And He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Our society's about ready to die. And if we don't do something, that's exactly what'll happen. It's a fight for the hedge of society to protect the society. You can't live without laws. It's been tried. It's a terrible place to live in a place with no laws. Just a question of morality. Because if you let the homosexuals do anything they want to do, then the next people in line are going to be the polygamists that have said since the early days of the Mormons, well, if I want two wives or three wives or four wives, what is it to anybody else? If you deny one, you can't deny the other. What about the North American Man-Boy Love Association, NAMBLA? It's a real group. They're up in Canada and they've got a website, and it's a group of men that thinks it ought to be legal for them to have sex with children. That's the world we're living in. We need some hedge in our society to protect, my Lord, our children and our lives and the future of America. It's the hedge of society. Second of all, the fight for the law is a fight for the honor of society. Look what the Bible says. But such as keep the law, contend with them. You ought to underline that word contend. That word contend is an interesting word. It means this. It means to grate. You remember when you was growing up and went to school and they had blackboards? And somebody, just to be mean, would get up there with their fingernails and they'd rake down that blackboard and everybody in there, buddy, they cringe up. They couldn't stand to hear that. That grated on your nerves, didn't it? That's what that word means. To grate. It means to anger. It means to strive. It means to fight against. They that keep the law, contend with them. Fight with them. Anger them. Grate on them. I got a burden to share with you this morning as with the church. I'd like you to help me pray about it, and I'd like you to join with me in it. But you know what? The burden on my heart is I feel called of God to anger and grate upon the nerves and the devil and all of his friends. I just feel called to God to do that. I really do. I mean, I really do. It excites me. It excites me to think about making the devil mad, because I'll tell you, he's been no friend of mine down through the years. The devil's crowd either. They'd like to see every one of you and every one of your children and your grandchildren in hell. Why do we want to be friends with the world when they hate us so much? They that keep the law contend with them is what the Word of God says. The Bible said in Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice, show my people their sin. You know what? Somebody asked me a while back about running for office. I wouldn't run for office for all the money in the world. Praise God, I'm not elected. I don't have to please nobody. I don't have to satisfy no advertisers. We don't pay admission to come in the door of the gospel, and the message is free to come and go and take it or don't take it, whatever you want. But thank God we're not tied down with this world to be a slave and a servant to it. We can just be God's people. Preach the Word of God. And so they that keep the law contend with them is what the Word of God says. And so we can be bold about it. The Bible said in Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion is what the Word of God says. I'm nothing. But that Word of God's right. That Word of God's right. We're not perfect. We're not trying to keep the law in all of its points and in all of its technicalities. We're not perfect. We cannot keep the law. We don't claim to be perfect, but I claim that the Word of God is perfect. The Bible said in Psalms 19:7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That law is important. It's converting the soul. God uses His Word to save souls. That's why it's so important. And last of all, I'll share one last thing with you. The fight for the law is a fight for the hope of society. The hope of society. This is the number one most important reason why it is important to keep the law of God before the eyes of humanity. The Bible says in Galatians 3:24, it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Without the law of God, people cannot see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do they need a Savior? Why do they need Jesus Christ? What does it matter to them that Jesus died upon the cross? I'll just follow Buddha. I'll just follow Allah. You know what the law of God does for us? The law of God shows us that we can't be good enough. The law of God condemns us as sinners before God. The law of God says the verdict is guilty, and the sentence is going to be to die, go to hell forever. Thank God for the law. The law shows us we can't save ourselves. And the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to show us the law says guilty, but grace says saved. The law says hell forever, but grace says my Father's house, there are many mansions. The law of God says you can't be good enough, but the grace of God says one was good enough for you. The law says nobody can take your place. You've got to die for your sin. The law of God says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't tell me that preachers and Christians hate people. It's not hating somebody when their house is on fire to go up and beat on the door and knock on the door and say, get out of that house! You're going to die. But it's unloving. It's unloving to let people die and go to hell and talk to them about the love of God and never talk to them about their sin. I'll tell you, if we reject the law of God, we'll end up like the person in Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You don't want to listen to the law of God. There's a lot of people say they're Christians. They're open-minded and loving everybody and everything. But you turn away your ear from hearing the law of God, and God says your prayer stinks. God says that prayer is an abomination. That's what that means, is a stink, a stench. The law of God is the hope of society. That's why America was a better place once upon a time, because people had the law of God before them and they knew they were sinners. And when a great awakening came along, they didn't have to be convinced that the Bible was the Word of God. They knew that the Bible was the Word of God, and then they knew that they need to be saved. If one's true, the other is too. That's why it's easier to have revival once upon a time than it is today. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.